Nancy, that, or Chris, or somebody, that scripture where it says, God said, but did you go out to see a man shaken in the wind as a reed, or however that goes? Can you look that up real quick? I'm going to teach on something tonight that God really laid on my heart, because we are in a new dispensation. I'm giving this to reiterate what is really going on in the body of Christ, and what you have to look forward to, all right? And I want you to be prepared for what's coming your way. They say when God tells you, when you know something, you're supposed to share it, not keep it to yourself. And I don't like to admit that it took me 30 years to realize what God was doing with me. So I want you to realize what God is doing with you right now in this dispensation of time. Did anybody find it yet? But what did you go out to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Yeah, that's how it goes. When I first came on the scene, I know you heard this before, but I really want to show you this again tonight. People were coming, ministers were coming against me, and prophets were coming against me. And so I went home one day and I said, God, what is going on here? And he gave me this scripture. I really want you to listen closely to what I'm going to teach you tonight, because it's something you really have to get in your spirit now and not when you're in whole. You have that in your spirit right now. Just read it, Chris.
As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?
If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. So God gave me that. He said, you are a prophet that I'm sending to the house. And they aren't going to want to hear what you have to say. And so when you're through here tonight, when we're through here tonight, you're going to find out that when you're all finished ministering, they're at least, if they don't believe the word you're preaching, they're going to at least know that a prophet was in their midst. All right, so that's what I'm trying to get at. All right, I titled this, I didn't pray yet, did I? Father God, I thank you and I praise you, and I'm sorry I got excited and got ahead of myself, but I just want to thank you that you're in our midst and your holy angels are ministering to your people, and whatever they came to get, Father God, you're giving it to them right now. And by the time they leave here, Father God, they're going to have more information down inside their spirit than they've ever had, more revelation. And Father God, it's going to take them through the trying times that they are headed into. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I titled this, What Does It Take to Be a Minister of the Gospel? I don't know if you read the word a couple of days ago, but God spoke about that, didn't he? So what do you want to be? An evangelist, a minister, a teacher, an apostle, a prophet? What is it you're wanting to be? Oh, yeah, you, use me, Lord, use me. All right, think about this. Thinking about preaching while reading the prophets is a sobering thing. And that's why I'm teaching this, because I was reading about the prophets. I said, oh, so I knew that I hadn't taught you this, and this is why I'm teaching this to you. All right, in Isaiah 6:8, God commissions Isaiah to preach to a deaf and blind people. Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Now look at what you're reading. This is what God told him. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away. By the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. All right, there you go. He's telling Isaiah, go and preach whatever I tell you to preach, but it's not going to do a lick of good, because the people aren't going to receive it. Now, I want to stop there, and please don't read on. The other night, if you're commissioned to go with the gospel, you should have the gift of prophecy within inside of you. The other night I prophesied to a lot of people in here. Well, one person got disgruntled, left, and is out running me down and praying against me. Now, the Word of God said, you've hurt people in the past, but you're not going to do it anymore. So what is this person doing right now? Hurting me in this ministry. So was God's word true? Yes. Because if it wasn't true, this wouldn't be going on. Now, when I was in my early stages of ministry, I was the prophet of this season. And I was going to, everybody had me booked in their churches all the time. And I went over to one church one night, and there was a prophet from Florida there. And she signaled me out and said, and I think they turned the microphones up real loud so the whole town could hear, I'm going to cut down your tree because you are bearing bad fruit. But I'm going to rebuild your tree, and then you will bear good fruit, fruit that others can eat. Well, see, I was still naive and dumb. And I thought, well, I know that's in the Word. And I just took the Word. And when I left, everybody was hugging me. Oh, we'll be praying for you, Pastor Barbara. We really will. And we love you. And don't ever forget, we love you here. They knew what God was saying. He was going to stop my ministry for a season. But then whenever, whatever. But you know what? That took 12 years for that to ever come to pass. I didn't get disgruntled is what I'm trying to tell you. I kept right on going out and ministering God's word and just doing whatever God told me to do. And then I knew. Because God said to me, he said, now you're going from the blessing to the curse. And I had to go there so God could teach me something. And that's why it happened. And when that happened, I didn't even like my own self. All right? But God still had me preach. When I preached, an anointing was still there. And you could never tell I was going through anything. But believe me, I knew I was going through something when I wasn't standing behind the pulpit. But I didn't fuss with God. I didn't fuss with the people. I just took my licks and went on. So I'm saying that to say this. When you're out there ministering, somebody might say something to you that's really going to cut you wrong. But if you know that's a true prophet, then receive it, because somewhere down the line, that thing is going to come to pass. In fact, I forgot the word was even given to me, to tell you the truth. And then one day, whenever God said, you're going from the blessing to the curse, and I remembered the prophecy. And then I said, okay, this is what God was telling me. Now he's going to cut my tree down. And then he's going to revamp me, you know, reproduce me into what he really wanted me to be at that given time. So whenever God's ready to cut your tree down, he's going to cut it down whether you like it or not. Now, I want you to get this in your spirits. One day I was praying and God said, you don't need any enemies outside the church. You have enough right inside the church coming against you every day. Last night, God told me as I was doing this, he said, there's a person inside the church, Lighthouse Church, right now, that the enemy's going to work on and try to turn that person against you. And if they yield to this, they will cause a split in the church. And when they leave, they'll talk, say very negative things about me. None of them are true. But because they allowed the enemy to come in with this voice of his to separate and divide, they're going to believe they're telling the truth. So I've been praying against that. Whenever you're ministering for the word for God, there's always somebody that the enemy can use to come against you and to cause separation and division. You cannot look at that. You have to keep your eyes upon God and do everything that God is telling you to do at all times. Now, Sister Nancy and Brother Christopher Gore know me really well, and they know what I go through every day. Right now with my body, you know, God says I'm healed, and I have to walk it out. But I also know it's witchcraft and voodoo because of the different things that are happening to my body. Like I could be sitting somewhere, and all of a sudden I'll have excruciating pain, let's say in my stomach. It doubles me clear over. It might last a half hour, might last 15 minutes. And just like that, it's gone. Now, that's not natural. And I got awake last night. My foot was so cramped, it was twisting. It lasted a half hour. And I was praying constantly, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I was rebuking the devil. And finally, my foot straightened out and all pain left. That's not natural. That's demonic. So right now, I'm under a lot of attack. I'm telling you because you're going to go through this. I'm under a lot of attack because God's getting ready to use a lighthouse to bring revival in this area. And the enemy's trying to stop me before it ever happens. All right? And I've had the audacity to tell you people you need to get delivered and be set free. Now, we have a deliverance ministry. It's a very, very good deliverance ministry. Some people come quite often, get delivered, but they don't hold on to it. Why? Because they really like what they have. And some of them don't get rid of it until they know it's going to kill them. If they don't, then they'll finally give it up. It's nothing against the deliverance team. They're anointed. They pray. They fast. They seek God's face. They call me, and I seek God's fast, and we get together, and we tell whatever God's telling us that's in there, that's what they pray against, and that is really in there. So it's not we're not a fluke. We're not a fly-by-night deliverance. We've had deliverance since the first day the door opened, all right? So don't let people say, well, it doesn't work. Yes, it does, but you are the one that is not letting it work. All right, let's go back to this. Jeremiah, now we're talking about Jeremiah. That was Isaiah. Now let's talk about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was commissioned to go preach without fear to those who threaten his life and reject his message. You see that? That's who God is going to send you to. Because when I first started, God sent me to churches. There was always packed out with pastors, and God was telling them about their sins and trying to get them straightened up, but they did not. In fact, pastors that had me there to do revivals for 30 days talked about me, said, don't believe a word she said because she wasn't in of God. Why? Because I touched on their sin, but they didn't want to change, so therefore then they had to come against me to make me look bad. Are you understanding this? So you have to know that you know that you know that God has called you. Then you have to be living a holy and righteous life, and you just have to walk it out no matter what's coming your way. All right? So anyhow, let's go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was commissioned to go preach without fear to those who threaten his life and reject his message. In Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 10, says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. See, some of us, before we was ever born, we already had our assignment. All right? And verse 6 says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What did he say? Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. This is why I tell you, do not prophesy over somebody that you know intimately, because only God's word should come out of your lips. And I'm sorry, but you'll get a mixture, and you're going to put in there some of the things that you know. So I tell anybody you prophesy in this church, do not ever prophesy over anybody that you know. That's why I don't really talk to people. I don't want to know your junk. I don't want to know your hurts and your pains, because God will tell me what you're going through. And then when I prophesy to you, you'll say, well, I know that was God, because you haven't told it to me. Nobody else is, because I don't listen to other people either. You have to quit wanting to know what everybody is about. The only thing you need to know is what God is about and what you're about. All right? Or you'll never be a true prophet. Because there will always be a mixture. Verse 14, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. See, God will tell you, if you're a true prophet, he will tell you what's going to go on in the world too. Verse 15, for behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. See what he says? They're going to come, and God says, I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Verse 17, but you, talking about Jeremiah, to Jeremiah, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. Jeremiah couldn't mix what God had to say. He had to say exactly what God told him to say. Verse 18 says, "Now behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land." Now see what he's doing with Jeremiah. He is raising up Jeremiah where nobody can tear him down. You see this? What did he say? "I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land." Verse 19, God goes on to say, "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." What is God? He's with him to deliver him while he's giving a bad message. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's message, his call was to repentance and judgment. Jeremiah's entire life was about preaching repentance. Did that ever make me feel good when I read this? I've been preaching repentance for 40 years. Now let's just go on and see what happens as Jeremiah preaches repentance. Can you imagine how much weight that would put on Jeremiah's shoulders? So I've read Jeremiah, I don't know how many times, but it wasn't until the other night when God told me to read it that I fully realized what Jeremiah was saying. Are you understanding this? I don't care how, I read the Bible 6 times. I don't care how many times you read it. It'll come a day when God will say, "Read this." And when you do, he brings the revelation knowledge that he wants you to know from that scripture. All right, from that moment on to the rest of his life, Jeremiah would preach over and over for the people of Judah to repent. Jeremiah understands that God does not want this outward conformity to religion that many people were doing under King Joaz. Jeremiah understood God. A lot of ministers don't even understand what God's trying to do. They're just out there just ministering. They don't understand what God is trying to do. And we know right now God has been preaching repentance. We know that God said he has left the church. And now he's going out into the highways and the byways because the church have rejected him. He's now rejected them. And we're going to see that in here. All right, God wanted true repentance and obedience. Just repenting doesn't work. You have to become obedient. God wanted a real and personal relationship with the people of Israel. This is one of the most painful things about the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet as he weeps and wails for his people. But we also get to see more of the heart of God and how much his people hurt him. Do you know if you're a true pastor, you'll go home and you'll cry over your people. Because see, if you're really a prophet of God and you're preaching the word, you look out over the peoples, you can see who's really going to change and who isn't. You can see who really is holding grudges and who isn't holding grudges. And you can see who's putting on a face and who is real. And if you can't see that, then you need to step down and you need to get with the Father until you can see as he sees. All right. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth," see God remembers, "your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt, disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless?" Do you see that? He said, "What wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless?" Do you see that? God is asking, "I was always so good and faithful to you, Israel. Why do you keep hating me?" Isn't that what's happening today? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you that is what's happening today. This church is filled up. You know, we had revival for years and years. It was always filled. And then whenever God started taking the Holy Spirit away, because they're not just our church, but all churches were coming against the Holy Spirit and walking all over the Holy Spirit anointing, he just said, "I'm just going to remove my Holy Spirit for a season and let them see what it's like." All right. God has been trying to get the body of Christ to serve him with all their heart. But I've stood up here and preached, and I've even said to God, "God, I don't know what else to preach, because the word's not making it. They're just not changing." And this is what Jeremiah goes through. You know, the word just is not changing anybody. It's going to take more than the word, God. And God said, they've hardened their hearts against me. And nothing is going to get through to them. Saints, that's a very dangerous place to be in, where you harden your heart so bad that nothing that God sends your way will ever faze you. You'll just keep right on sinning. And I see that in the body of Christ, every place I've ever been, every state I've ever been in, the body of Christ has hardened their heart. I even went to a place in Pennsylvania where they've had me there quite often. And when I went this time, the wife said, God told me to have you come in, and God had told me, I've told them to call you in and I want you to go, but the pastor's going to come against you, but I still want you to go. So I went there, and he rebuked me right in front of the whole bunch of people that were there that came to listen to me. And I just sat there and let him say what he wanted to say. And finally he said, come on up, come on up, minister to him. And God moved in a fantastic way. Then afterwards I said, why did you do that? You're so anointed. What is it about me that made you do that to me? He said, people like you more than they do me. I said, what difference? They don't like me more. They like Jesus. I said, if that's what's bothering them, get more of Jesus in you, because he did need more of Jesus. I said, then you won't have to go through this, but he won't talk to me no more. But see, this is how people are. That's the body of Christ. I said, you know me. You've had me up here so many times, and you've been wherever I've been, and you know how God moves. You know the miracles God has done for the people up here, but yet you tell me that you stood up here and you belittled me. Why did you do that? I see, God was using me to get his attention. And I told him I loved him as I left. And he said, we're not taking you out to eat. You just go and find someplace else to eat. And I said, I didn't want to go eat anyhow. I really didn't. But you see how the body of Christ is? And these are ministers. So do you still want to preach the word? Because this is the kind of thing that you're going to do. You know, and I was evangelist for quite some time. I'd evangelize, and God pulled me in off the road. He said, I'm bringing you in off the road now, because now they're getting ready to persecute you. And if I let you out on the road, they will destroy you. So I had to bring you in. See how God loves us. He knew that they were really going to start coming again, so he just brought me in. He said, I'm just going to let you rest a while, and he just let me minister here. That's just how good God is. So if God says to you, come on, I'm going to pull you in off the road, let him pull you in off the road, because he knows what's going to happen to you out there. See, I don't have to minister. I just love God, and I just know he's real. And you know, I don't mind sitting. I really don't. I don't have to get up in front of a bunch of people and try to show you how wonderful I am, because I'm not. It's God in me that's wonderful. Amen. Anybody that knows me on a personal level, you know I can't hardly hold a decent conversation. But when I'm under the anointing, I'm not saying I'm dumb. I'm really not. I've been to college and everything. But what I'm saying is God has always had me in a silent mode, where he didn't want me sitting, you know, talking all the time. He wanted me to be quiet so I could hear his still, small voice. Do you understand what I'm saying here? But under the anointing, God takes over, and he does what he wants to do, because I give him full permission. All right, where am I at? All right, so God is asking, I was always so good and faithful to you, Israel. Why do you keep hating me? That's real today. Isn't that how our hearts are with God? And I'm talking about the body of Christ. God gives us himself, but we choose to hate him and leave him because of all sorts of temporary and unimportant reasons. Wow, I didn't like the way Pastor Barbara didn't look at me, so I'm just going to leave the church. I mean, that's dumb. You know, sometimes I deliberately don't say things to people because God's already told me they have a spirit of wanting attention, and I won't feed any spirit. So I will deliberately just walk by people, and it's not that I don't love you. You just have a spirit that I'm not going to feed. I don't want it to grow. I want it to die in the vine. Amen. And just learn, it doesn't matter if anybody notices you or not. You're still God's child, are you not? Does people recognize you, make you God's child? Absolutely not. You're God's child if nobody talks to you. All right? All right, so I said, God gives us himself, but we choose to hate him and leave him because of all sorts of temporary and unimportant reasons. And this is a part of Jeremiah's message. God wants us to repent, and God wants us to be in relationship with him. He's been telling us that for years. As you read Jeremiah, you see that Jeremiah has a huge understanding of God. See, you need to understand God. You need to know his heart. He understands that God is the God of history, the God above the world, the sovereign one, and also the faithful one, the fountain of living water, the eternal lover of his people. That's who he is. And you see in Jeremiah's message, the call to repentance and judgment and the call to hope in relationship. If you're going to preach God's word, you need to learn how to do it without getting killed. Let's read that again. If you're going to preach God's word, you need to learn how to do it without getting killed. And sometimes that's a chore. You know, I know that people sometimes come just to hear me. And God will give me some great revelation knowledge, and I'll call somebody and say, you know, this is what God showed me. Can you get a message together for that? See, if I was into me, I would get that message together because I'd say, wow, look what she knows. But I don't do that. I give it to somebody else. I said, you give it. Are you understand what I'm saying here? I don't have to be the center of attention. Jesus does. But I tell everybody, gets up, or you better, if you're not living it, then don't give it. And you better do it in the spirit, because I don't want to see any flesh come out of you. If I do, I will tell you about it. Are you listening? Come on. In a vision, all right, let's look at Ezekiel's assignment and our assignment. In a vision in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3, Ezekiel receives his commission to preach to the wicked, rebellious house of Israel. Everybody's preaching to the church. The basic call was to persevere in preaching. The basic call was to persevere in preaching. The word of the Lord, preaching the word of the Lord no matter what, because through him God would make them know that a prophet has been among them. Guys, if you're going to preach, I don't care if you're an evangelist, I don't care if you're a teacher, I don't care what you are, you're going to have to persevere. Because the devil's going to use people to try to destroy you. And this is what he was telling Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2:5 says, as for them, God speaking, as to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. In other words, guys, just go. Just go and give what God has you to give. And then, well, like God told me, he said, daughter, you're trying to get him saved. That is not what I commission you to do. All you need to do is give them the word and then walk away. Let them do what they want to with the word. So I'm telling you tonight, you can't get them saved. God gives you a word to give them. Give them the word and leave it alone. If they come and ask you, what did God mean? And my comeback is, go ask God. If people come and argue about what you spoke about, you take it up with God. You ask God, because he's the one who said it. I didn't. I never, ever, even a prophetic word, I've told people, throw your word in the trash. Because if you're going to argue over it, it's not doing you any good. Just throw it in the trash if you don't believe that God spoke through you through me. All right? That's what you need to do. Don't try to justify what God spoke through you. Excuse me. Because you can't. If it was really God speaking, you cannot justify it no matter what he says. Because God knows you inside out. I might know your little smiley face, but I don't know what's behind that mask. God told me that one time. That's why I say that. And you can come put on the best face you have and be just gushy, gushy, sweet, sweet, and inside you're a mess. All right? The basic call to persevere in preaching the word of the Lord no matter what, because through him God would make them know that a prophet has been among them. And Ezekiel 2:5 says, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, I know I said this, but I'm saying it again, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. This seems tough, but encouraging. It's tough to have to go, knowing they're not going to listen to you, but it's still encouraging to know that at least God gave them a chance. After all, he is told that it will be evident that Ezekiel is God's anointed prophet. God will be with him powerfully. Now that has to be good, right? Don't you say that's good? There's still more. While promising to be with Ezekiel, God also makes it clear he is not going to be greeted with a lot of success. He will be rejected. His message will fall on rebellious ears and stubborn hearts. So, there you go. You already know they're not going to pick up a thing I say, but I've got to do all this studying. And, you know, stay awake at night to get it all together and get up there for 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, and give it. No, and they're not going to receive a thing I say. But God said you have to persevere, right? God says he is sending him to a people who are so stubborn. No, where I'm at. Yeah, that's where I'm at, right? God says he is sending him to a people who are so stubborn that even though the message is not hard to understand and the language is not a barrier, even so they will reject it because they continually reject God. And that's Ezekiel 3:6. See, that's where you get all messed up. You think they're rejecting you. They're not. They're rejecting the God in you. I've said it over and over again, and I hope you've gotten onto that. I hope it's latched onto your spirit. Yet still, God calls him to be a watchman over the house of Israel in Ezekiel 3:17, preaching a warning to God's people so that they might turn, repent, and not come under judgment. Knowing that the people will rebel, knowing that they will reject him, knowing the difficulty, he is still to preach the word of the Lord. So if you say, here I am, Lord, use me. This is what you have to do. Even though you know people aren't going to receive anything you say, you still have to preach your word because he commissioned you. You asked for it. Big mouth. Let me hear. I am, Lord. Use me. And when all hell broke, I said, God, what's going on here? I heard you when you said, here I am, use me. And this goes along with it. So guys, when you said it, it goes along with it. Me, 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 me. Well, God saw me because he's looking for those who work for him. And he's using you, but you don't like what happens. How do we preach under conditions like this? What drives faithfulness in situations like this, you know, in you? How do we bear up under the pressure? Most of us don't think about this going into the project. We think it's going to be a rose garden because God said to me, daughter, I never promised you a rose garden. Whenever you said, here I am, use me, you went into the lion's den. But no bear ever told me I was going into the lion's den. I thought I was going into the house of God, and everybody's going to love me. This is before I was preaching, just being in a seat. But everybody came against me from day one when I became born again. Until I became born again, the devil left me totally alone. I was no heathen, but I did go to church, but I never was born again because I didn't know I was supposed to be. But once I became born again, my whole life changed for the worse because the devil just targeted me, and he was after me with everything he had because he knew what God had commissioned me to do, and he did not want his kingdom torn down. Are you understanding this? See, the devil knows you, and he knows what God has commissioned you to do, and he knows if he can't get you off course, you are going to tear his kingdom right apart. So he's going to throw everything at you that he has. So I said, most of us don't. I said, how can we go do all this? Well, most of us don't think about this going in. We might know it is going to be hard. We might know that if we faithfully preach the word, not all that we say is going to be received well. Nevertheless, coming face to face with stubborn, reluctant members of the body, people who won't repent, members you are intimidated to speak honestly to for fear of causing them to leave, catch some of us off guard and make us lose our nerve. Now, see, I've never been to that place. I don't care what you say about me. I know what God has called me to do, and I know when God's using me, you know, and I'm saying to myself, God, please don't go there. I didn't want this tonight. I would like to be just nice and peaceful and loving and kind, and he's just doing just the opposite. Amen? So I'm never worried about if I hurt your feelings. I'm not, because you know what? If you're a true child of God, your feelings won't get hurt. We used to have little shoes, you know, said if it, where it fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. You know, I'm just not worried about that. Because if you're really a true child of God, walking in the Spirit of God, you won't ever get offended. You won't. And believe me, the devil has offended me many, tried to offend me many, many times by pastors in the house of God. Didn't bother me because I wasn't doing it. You know, if you're not doing it, you're not guilty, right? But if there's something in you that's not right, it's going to make you feel guilty and you're going to get all upset. That's why my closet is clean. I don't want no surprises by the devil. Right? Come on. Where am I at now? I lost my place again. Even with the Spirit of God indwelling the hearts of believers, nobody likes being told to repent. That's why people leave this church. We just can't deal with your message. It's too hard. You can't live that message. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You don't want to. They leave and they get all bent out of shape, you know, and they get all messed up and come back and say, help. And that's fine. We help them again, and then they get all feeling better. Then they leave again because the message, I'm not going to change my message just because you came back. You know, God isn't going to, I'm not called to do that. I'm called to minister to ministers. That's what God told me. You're going to minister to ministers, and I'm going to send them forth and use them on, out on the streets or, you know, another building. So if you're in here, God wants you in here so that he can show you areas in your life he has to change, so that whenever he sends you, he's not going to send you out to change anyhow. But anyhow, so when you go out, the devil can't take you out. All right? I wish somebody had told me this before I went on the street, you know, went out in an evangelistic field. And I went out there and didn't know what was going on. But the Holy Spirit taught me, because God said that's what I should do, be taught by the Holy Spirit. So some of you need to quit allowing, you know, allowing other people to teach you all the time. You need to get on your face before the Father and you know, and just let the Holy Spirit teach you things. I didn't say don't go to church. I didn't say quit reading your Bible, your books. I didn't say that. But you're always wanting somebody else to take you by the nose and lead you around. And you shouldn't do that. How are you going to lead others if you want somebody to lead you all the time? All right, a hard forehead. So what do you need to preach faithfully to people with stubborn hearts? First of all, you apparently need some good facial bone density. Early in the chapter, the Lord says to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3:7-9, but the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces. Look at this, and this is what God has done to you if he's truly called you. I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Don't get all upset at how they look at you and how they act. After all, dear Lord, you're God's. If they get upset with you, then they're not. There's something in them that still needs to be changed and transformed. All right? I know I have a forehead of flint, because God said to me one day, daughter, I'm giving you a forehead of flint today and a backbone of steel, and you'll never back down from the devil in any in situation you come into. I know I have that. And you think, well, you think you're all that and some. No, I don't. I just know who I am in Christ. And I know that I'm preaching the Word of God the way he wants it preached. I know I'm doing the will of the Father. And so if I know that, well, then I don't care what you say about me. It's not going to faze me. All right, get that in your spirit tonight. The Lord uses a picture of Israel having a hard forehead after years of rebellion. They were people with a stubborn will that won't be turned aside, having set their face against the Lord. God tells Ezekiel that as hard as their forehead was, he would make Ezekiel's that much firmer. God, you know, that, how many of you know that God does do that? You're working with people and, you know, they're really have a hard forehead, but God will put something tenacity in you, and your forehead becomes harder than hers, and you can stand up, not ignorant, but you can stand up to them and not back down, because God has made you that way. He's placed you in front of that person so you can change them, not them change you. And what I'm hearing God say, too many of my people let other people change and rearrange them to their standard instead of my people changing them and rearranging them. So don't let other people change you if you're walking with God. God tells Ezekiel that as hard as her forehead was, he would make Ezekiel's that much firmer. God would give Ezekiel a strength of will, a forehead harder than flint that was used to strike a fire. And, you know, that's pretty hard flint. We need a supernaturally emboldened will to preach. You need supernatural boldness to preach the Word of God. Ezekiel did not derive his boldness from his own strength. His strength was the Lord's. It was the Spirit of God. See, this is another thing. People think they're doing it themselves, and they really are not. It is God working through you. It was the Spirit of God who proved to be the firm ground on which he could make his stand. You can't preach to a stubborn people if your will is weaker than theirs. Are you listening here? If all you want is their money, you're never going to get them to where God wants them to be. If you want them to like you, you're never going to get them to where they want, where they're supposed to go. If God placed them under you, then they're supposed to listen to what you have to say. And if they become unteachable and think that you don't know what you're doing, then they need to leave. That, you know, it's just that simple. There's nothing complicated about God's word. Inevitably, heads will butt. You know, somebody's got to be strong. And someone's will have to break. Somebody's will is going to have to break. whenever you butt heads. Pray for the sake of your people that it is not yours. So, you know how I am. I say, if you don't want to be here, go. I'm holding you here. So, but it's, you know, you're supposed to pray for the sake of your people that's not yours. It was on a footnote in the Bible. You're going to do what God says because I'm not backing down. Right? How many of you have stubborn kids in your home? You can't smoke in my house. They sneak around and smoke when you're not there. You come home and smell it. Okay, if you're smoking in here, then you pack your bags and get out. This is a no-smoking house. I never smoked in my life. My house never had smoke in it. And you're not going to bring it in with your other wicked ways. Don't back down. Right? Come on. All right, a heavy heart. Your people need you to have a hard forehead. Because this passage also teaches us that our message is a weighty one. It can only be preached with heavy heart, burdened with the gravity of God's word. That is the only way I know how to describe the Lord's charge in the middle of the chapter. God tells Ezekiel that he must preach to the people because unless he does, he is accountable for their blood. I tell you, none of you worth me going to hell for. You know, and that's the way you need to feel. You need, you know, why do you want to stoop to their level and let them change you to be what they are? We're not supposed to do that. Because if you let them do that, if you read Ezekiel, you find out that their blood is going to be in your hands and you're going to be judged for that. All right? Compromise is what I was trying to think of. I'm not going to compromise the word just to make you feel good. All right, Ezekiel 3:16 says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel again, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. See, if you're really a teacher, a preacher, or whatever, you have to be able to hear God's voice because he's going to tell you what to tell the people. All right? So he said, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. You have to tell the people the truth. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. He's talking about a righteous man here. So, you know, if you see somebody in the house of God sinning, you have to tell them, you're in sin. You can't be doing that. All right? And verse 21 says, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Don't be afraid to tell your kids are going to die and go to hell to continue the sin they're doing. Why are you afraid to do that? Why? God's going to ask you, why didn't you train them up in the ways they should go? Well, I did when they was younger, but after all, when they reached 18, they have their own will. Well, my kids are still in my home, and they're 39 and 40, and they're doing things they shouldn't do. And I tell them, if you don't quit, you're going to go to hell. God told me you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell if you don't change, because that's what he said. I'm not going to have their blood on my hands. Are you listening here? All right, God says that he will punish the wicked and forgive the repentant according to their own actions. But Ezekiel is still held liable for whether he preached the word of repentance to them or simply left them to their wickedness. All through the scripture, there is a weight to bring a preacher and teacher of God's word. James 3:1 says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I want to preach. Well, you're going to be judged stricter than the other ones. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I'm supposed to be so joyous that you all won't listen to the word of God. That's what it said, didn't it? I'm happy, happy, happy. I'm going to do a happy dance. Nancy has to teach me her happy dance, and I'm going to be so happy that you won't change. Amen. No, I'm just going to keep on telling you, better get it together. All right, they are to be faithful shepherds to the flock, knowing they must give an account to the true shepherd. And you know, sometimes, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, you have to give account to God right now before you die. Because God will say, what are you doing there? Why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that? Well, God, I did. Well, do it again. Because they aren't paying attention. So I have to do it again. You know? 1 Peter 5:1. The elders who are among you, I exhort. Who's he talking to? The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly. He says, shepherd the flock that is among you. Don't go out and try to, you're not supposed to preach to the church and try to make the people down the street straighten up. God will send the ones he wants you to minister to into your house, all right, or into your presence or wherever you're at. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You're supposed to be an example to all those that you minister to. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. If you do everything God tells you to do, then you're going to receive your crown of glory. Remember, God told me, daughter, don't let any man steal your crown. Do you understand how many, and that's devils. Do you understand how many devils are trying to steal your crown before you even get started in your ministry? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Preachers have to know that there is a weight to the words we speak. We are not just tossing about interesting ideas that are fun to debate sometimes. We are preaching the difference between life and death, both in this life and what follows. This knowledge should drive us to set our foreheads like flint and to preach no matter the result. All too often we pull back for fear of the results when the results of pulling back are far more terrifying. See that? I know this is a little bit lengthy, but you really need to hear this. I'm about done. Instead, our charge should propel us forward to humbly but confidently speak, thus says the Lord, for the sake of our hearers. In other words, you know, if you're in here tonight, God wants to use you as a leader. And he sends in here who he wants. We don't go out there and pull you in. God sends who he wants into the house of God. He knows what house to send you in. Some things you're not going to be able to. Some people couldn't come in here and listen to this. It would kill them. They just would not even want to walk with God. But he sends those that he's trying to clean up to use for his glory. All right? All right, getting weightier hearts and tougher craniums. A lot of ministers reading Ezekiel chapter 3 know that they don't have that hard forehead or that heavy heart. But how do those ministers gain some weightier hearts and tougher craniums? First thing they need to do is pray and repent. It is that simple. God promises that he will make Ezekiel's forehead hard. We need to be on our knees pleading with God for the strength to bear up under the pressure. The Spirit is the only one who can impress upon our hearts the burden of the world as well as give us the courage we need. You know, somebody split the church one time, and then on a Saturday, then that Sunday when I met, just one person showed up, and I bent over the pulpit, and I pointed my finger at him, and I started crying. I mean, that's just all God. And God said to him, are you going to leave me too? You know, that's scripture. Are you going to leave me too? The boy sat there and said, I don't know. But he left because the people who left us, but the church, they kept at him till he left. But God wept. He cried because, you know, he came, but he said, are you going to leave me too? He was letting this man know, you know, somebody's going to try to pull you out too. All right? Second thing is preach the word alone. We gain strength and passion for preaching when we commit ourselves to studying and wrestling with God's word in order to present it to God's people. It is then that we are convinced and convicted of what God has said. You know, study your word and preach the word. It is then that we are unhindered by the ambition to forward our own clever ideas. You know, in other words, using your charisma. It is then that our fears are quenched that would cause us to shrink from our task Ezekiel 3:27 says, "But when I speak with you," the God speaking, "I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house." God is saying the same thing to the church today. Jeremiah 7:1-11, we want to read that in closing. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, I want you to listen to this. Because if God is truly calling you to be a leader, then you're going to run into these situations. And God wants you forewarned so that you don't lose faith and lose heart and just drop off the face of the earth. Jeremiah 7:1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judea who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house? That's what's going on today. Which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations. People go out there all the time and sin their heads off and come right into the house of God acting like there's nothing going on. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. You know, there's many times when you guys have been really messed up that God's let me see this house is a disaster. And I've even brought it over the pulpit and said there's some sin in this house and God wants it stopped. And God is burning with anger, and Jeremiah is calling the people to repentance, but the people refuse to repent. That's why God says he's left the church. He's left the church. He's now ministering to the lost. And God is threatening them with coming judgment. He is threatening them with judgment and destruction and exile if they don't repent. And to give you a picture of how unrepentant they were, let's continue reading Ezekiel 7:30. For the sons of Judea have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Now, the people of Judah are literally burning their sons and daughters, offering up as sacrifices. And God is screaming at them through Jeremiah, what are you doing? You know, perversion is running rapid in the body of Christ, the house of God. And God is saying, what are you doing? Why have you not changed? Why are you allowing this stuff to go on in the house of God? Because all the way back in Leviticus, human sacrifice is already banned. God hates it. However, the people of Judah learned human sacrifices from the Canaanite and the Phoenician people. They worshipped Molech and offered child sacrifices as a way of getting the gods to listen to them and grant their request or blessings. Archaeology has found in a Phoenician colony from the 8th century B.C. the burned remains of thousands of child sacrifices. And Israel, the kingdom of Judah, is imitating them. And Jeremiah is screaming the word of God at them. But do the people repent? No. False prophets were around at that time. And the false prophets were going around telling everyone, hey, it's okay. God is on our side. You hear that all the time. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to worry. God is on our side. Peace to you. Peace to us. Doesn't that sound like just like today? Are you willing to die to the flesh and do the same works that Jeremiah did? I said, your back's bothering you. Why don't you get up and walk around a little bit? Yeah, I see your back's bothering you. You sat too long in that chair. But you sat and you listened, even though you was in pain. Did you understand what you heard tonight? God is warning the church. You need to start preaching the truth. You cannot water it down. Sin is sin is sin is sin. The reason why there's so much junk in the body of Christ is because a lot of the pastors are in sin themselves. I mean, it's coming out into the open. And that's why they don't preach. You know, what you're guilty of, you won't ever preach. Because if you preach it, then you have to change. And a lot of people don't want to change. They like that sin that they're in. And so they let the people go to hell with them. And that's the bottom line. So if you're sitting here tonight and you minister in any way, shape, or form, and you're not telling the truth and you're still staying in your sin, I would quit ministering until I got myself right. Everybody knows that it comes here on a permanent basis, that if I messed up, if I'm upset about something, I won't preach. I won't prophesy or nothing, because you don't need my junk on you. And see, too many people, they don't do that. They won't step aside, because after all, this is me. Everybody wants to hear from me. Well, you know what? Are they really hearing from you? Yes, they are. They're hearing from you and not God, is what that's all about. It's all about you and not about God. It's not about allowing God to minister to the people the truth. It's you getting recognition. Are you ready to change, church? Are you really ready to go out there and preach the gospel the way it needs to be preached? You know, if you're doing something wrong at home, stop it. You know, if your spouse is you know, into perversion, and they're trying to make you, or are making you, be perverted with them, because after all, you're my wife, you're my husband. No, you don't do that. God hasn't called you to do that. If they're perverted, they need to get their act together or slap up alongside their head. I don't care what you do with the word. But please don't yield to what their perversion. That's not God. It is not God. A pastor I knew one time, they told me, well, God doesn't come into our bedroom and worry about what we're doing. And I said, oh, God said, well, yeah, I do. I see everything that's going on in there. And then I told him, God said, well, our bedroom's sacred. We can do whatever we want to in there. And God said, no, they can't. No, they can't. And I knew they were doing some things just by what I saw in there. But they wouldn't listen. And God stopped their ministry. You can't continue to do these kind of things. God wants you holy. He wants you pure. He wants you righteous, just like Jesus was. Tonight, God wants to give you ears that hear, truly hear. Not just think you hear, but ears that truly hear. So that when he sends you forth into your ministry, the only voice you're going to hear is his. And the only message you give will be his.